96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, RF Bank and Trust, and Wellstar Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you could join us. I'm sorry that yesterday didn't work out, but the technology was not cooperating yesterday. But we're going to be great and fine today. I have some very special guests to introduce to you today. We're going to talk to them for a while, and then we're going to look at some matters I know you want me to look at. After we are done, if you want to give us a call at some point today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are also live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So we have the pleasure today of speaking first with His Excellency, the High Commissioner to Ottawa. His Excellency Alfred Gray is in the house. How are you, sir? You're muted, I think. You want to, Mr. Gray, you want to unmute? I think you're still muted. Yes, we're still not hearing you because you're still muted.
Could you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Welcome, 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 so welcome. Thank you for joining us here on Z Live.
Well, let me say, Brother Lang, it's very, very kind of you to have us on your program today. And, of course, I owe this to one of my assistants here at the embassy, Mrs. Nahijah Black, who made the contact on our behalf, and I want to thank her for doing so. With me today, if I can say so, is His Excellency Dr. Dexter Johnson. He is a non-resident ambassador to Brazil, and he is joining me together with the president of the of the National Association of Bahamians here in Canada, Ms. Jasmine Dossett. We have 15 minutes, and so I will hush right there and allow you to ask us what you think we should be able to tell you.
Well, you know, we're glad you're joining us. It's always useful to understand what our diplomats are busily doing. I know we are celebrating our 50th independence, and so therefore all around the world, wherever the Bahamian diaspora happens to be, we understand that the missions are doing some things. And so maybe you can start with us there. Well, first of all, congratulations, sir, and secondly, how have you been finding your diplomatic posting duties and chores?
Well, you know, to come directly out of politics, so to speak, into a different kind of work, I find it very interesting. I think that's the way I would describe it. I'm doing my best to do what my assignment is. And so far, I've been very happy with what I've been able to do thus far because the winter came and stopped my flow.
I was going to ask you about that.
So we had two or three good months so far. Okay. The other months from November to early or late March had been met with a very harsh winter. And so we were not able to move around as we are presently able to do now. And so far, so good. Let me just say it like that.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to. I spent about a week or so in the height of winter in Ottawa. It was interesting, but not fun. not in terms of the winter.
Well, the snow and me have not become friends yet.
I understand.
And so I will leave it there. But I am enjoying my work. And I have a good group of people working here at the embassy, together with some Bahamians out there who are so supportive, not the least amongst which is the Independence Committee members. And with your leave at this juncture, I'd like to mention who they are. These are the people who have really put together a splendid program for us, this Independence celebration. We have the Independence Committee led by one of our counselors here, Mrs. Crystal Moss Rowe. She's the chairman of the Independence Committee. And then we have, of course, Mrs. Nahijah Black from the embassy as well, and Miss Daniela Ward. She's also one of our committee members. But those who are not working with the embassy would be made up of Dr. Dexter Johnson, as I indicated before, Mrs. Janet Johnson Cuffey, from the Department of Tourism or the Ministry of Tourism in Toronto. And then we have Mr. Corey Sincere. And of course, these people have so big titles. I know time wouldn't permit me to say all of their titles, name them for the time being. And then we have Mr. Michael Riat. All of these are Bahamians. All of these are Bahamians working in Canada. What a joy. What a joy. And then we have Father Julian Campbell. He's the priest in charge of the St. Mark's Anglican Church, where our religious service will take place. But in a word, that is the committee who have been really the wind beneath my wings in getting the job done up to this point.
Ambassador Dr. Dexter Johnson, Brazil, is it? Brazil. That's what I got from His Excellency, Mr. Gray. It's Brazil, right?
That's correct. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Now, Brazil is one dynamic place. So how have you been finding that appointment?
Well, we're waiting to actually open up formal relations, as you know. Well, first of all, let me just say thank you for having me on your show. I always wanted to see you. Granted, this is virtual, but nevertheless, I was looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Thank you.
So we're waiting for the formal opening of relations between the two countries. As you know, Brazil recently had elections, and President Lula and his team, they're sorting things out. And we from the Bahamas, we're ready to go. We're just waiting for the okay to come down. That's where we are right now.
Okay.
Just waiting patiently.
Understood. So Ambassador Gray, please tell us what's on tap for the celebrations there in Canada. Your committee working out on this stuff.
Thank you so much, Brother Lang. In a few words, we have three sections of our celebrations that I'd like to mention. The first is to take place on the 10th, the night or the evening of the 10th, when we hope to light up Canada. Now, I know to go through all the places where the lights in the color of the Bahamian flag would be featured would probably take the whole program, because we have about 15 sites in Canada that the Canadian government and the mayors and everybody else have agreed to light up on the night or the evening of the 10th in the colors of the Bahamian flag. That's the first, and I am so excited. And all around the country, a light somewhere will feature the colors of the Bahamian flag, and I want to invite Bahamians. Should I go through them? Do we have time? I can name the places where we will light up. And I know it's going to take up a little minute. And so tell me if I have the time to tell you. Ottawa.
Go ahead, High Commissioner. Go ahead.
Good. In Ottawa, it will be at the Bywood Market. And everybody knows in Canada where that is. In Edmonton, it will be on the High Level Bridge. In Vancouver, it will be at the City Hall and the Burrard Street Bridge. In the Niagara Falls, that is a site of its own. The Niagara Falls will be lit up with Bahamian flag colors. And then we have Hamilton, the City Hall in Hamilton will be lit. In Halifax, the City Hall there will be lit. In Calgary, the Reconciliation Bridge will be lit. In London, Ontario, we have the City Hall lit there. In, of course, we have three places in London, Ontario, where the lights will shine brightly. The City Hall, the J.A. Taylor Building, and the RBC London Place. Of course, that is private public sector combination of places. And then also in London would be the Canada Life Building in the Dufferin Adder Avenue there. And in Toronto, the Canada Life Building and the Winnipeg Canada Life Building will also be brightly lit on the evening of the 10th. And then we go down to Kingston. The City Hall in Kingston, Canada will be lit. Then we have the Leith Bridge in Alberta, Canada. The City Hall there will be lit. We have Buffalo, Niagara. The Peace Bridge will be lit. We have the PI, or the PEI, that is the Prince Edward Island, the City Hall there will be lit. In Victoria, Canada, the City Hall will be lit. In Port Coquitlam, the City Hall there will be lit. In Peterborough, the City Hall there. Kitchener, the City Hall there. Burlington, the City Hall there. The New Marketplace in downtown Kitchener, the City Hall will be lit in addition to the downtown pier. And then the New Market in Kitchener will be lit. The River Walk in the common area will be lit in the New Marketplace there. And of course, we have the Fred Lundy Bridge in Barrie, Canada will also. Altogether, we have 15 sites where Bahamians living in those areas can go around and watch the Bahamian flag on buildings or bridges first, and I'm excited about that. I want to thank the mayors, the people of the Canadian government to give such approval in record time, and everything is free.
No, that's very generous. That's extremely generous, but I may have missed it, but I don't know if I heard anything in Halifax.
Halifax, yes, the City Hall in Halifax. Okay. That, you know, going as fast as I'm trying to go, I might not have said it, but yes, in Halifax, the City Hall there will be lit on the same evening of the 10th when every other place will be lit with the colors of the Bahamian flag. Anybody who wants to know where it is in their area can call the embassy and we could give them, if they missed this broadcast, we can give them the time and place city or at their City Hall.
Yeah, my ears only perked up because I have a son in Halifax and I went to school in London, Ontario. So, you know, I was listening for those two.
I don't blame you. Well, you are included, both you and your son.
I told him to listen into the show so he could hear from our High Commissioner to Ottawa. But
I just wish you could make it, man, Brother Lang. I wish you could make it. But I know time is short. But if you get a chance, listen, just join me.
Yes, sir. So in addition to the lighting up, what are the other events?
Yeah, the reception, the gala reception will take place on the 15th between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. at the High Commissioner's residence in 211 Lakeway Drive, Rockcliffe. Mm-hmm. So if you are able to join us there, we are expecting at least about 250 guests. And we are ready. we are ready for them. And then on Sunday the 16th, we are having a church service, which would be held at 9 a.m. at the St. Mark's Anglican Church, headed by Father Julian Campbell. He is the brother of Father Sebastian Campbell, and he intends to host us at the church service there, followed by a little mini reception.
Nice. Nice. Madam Jasmine Dorsett, I see you are on. You must be very excited about all of this going on, celebrating our 50th there in Ottawa, in Canada.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Very, very excited. Looking forward to traveling up to Ottawa. I'm actually in Hamilton, Ontario, which is just outside of Toronto. But we are definitely looking forward to going up to Ottawa, joining the High Commission and the Consulate and all the other Bahamians that will be traveling up to Ottawa for the celebrations.
Yeah, you've got Hamilton and Brampton and those surrounding areas there. Yeah. So Bahamians will be coming, you expect, visiting from multiple jurisdictions in Canada, in coming to Ottawa?
So right now, we are expecting that the majority of the people that will be joining will be from Ontario, from other areas in Ontario. However, I am aware that we have people traveling in from Alberta. I believe we also have some people traveling in from British Columbia and from Nova Scotia as well. And it just works out very well in that, of course, because July 10th is not a holiday in Canada, everyone will be in their home cities for the lights, to light up Canada, and can go and take photos and all that. But the reception is being held on the 15th and the church service on the 16th. So everyone will be able to travel up the following weekend and go to Ottawa to be able to celebrate all together. But, you know, do their July 10th celebrations in their home city and then travel up to Ottawa the following weekend.
High Commissioner, I have to tell you, I'm very impressed, man. You all are very comprehensive. When I heard y'all mention Prince Edward's Island, I was like, wow, these are some thoughtful folk.
I can tell you, Brother Lang, it's because of the hard working people around me. I don't take any credit at all, quite frankly. I am so glad that I could say we have a hard-working committee mentioned, and then we have Ms. Jasmine Dorsett, who is out there making sure that Bahamians in the diaspora know about what we are doing. And so I want to thank her for taking the lead in that regard. Listen, we just have good, hard-working people, and I'm proud of them.
Yeah,
Dr. Johnson is... Sorry.
No, sir. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
No, I was saying, Dr. Johnson, I don't want time to run out on us because he has something special to mention. Now, you might have to give us one next 2 minutes or so, but
carry on, sir.
No, I know we only had 15 minutes allotted, okay. And so I want to ask if Dr. Johnson could just chime in and tell, like Ms. Dorsett did, what we could expect from him and his committee.
Please, go right ahead, sir.
All right, Mr. Lang. Well, you know, as the High Commissioner said, this is a big one. As the saying goes, go big or stay home. You know, we went all out on this. And we actually formed a subcommittee under the instructions of His Excellency Gray. Subcommittee composed of myself, Ms. Janet Johnson Cuffey, and Father Julian Campbell, looking at possibly giving out awards, and we kind of came up with some pretty, we sent out feelers, and we had quite a few people from the diaspora applying for these awards. We've got an award named after Sir Lyndon, one after Samila Butler, one after Dame Doris Johnson. We have a Sir Cecil Wallace Whitfield Award. We have a Sir Randall Folks Award, and we also have two awards for business, because we ran into two, we decided that we would give out five awards, but we had two outstanding applicants in the area of business. We just could not overlook them. So we came up with awards for those two individuals as well. And the names will be announced on the 15th at the ceremony. And areas in terms of qualifying for an award, the applicants had to submit professional qualifications. They had to submit in any information on contributions to what they've done in the Bahamas or in hurricane disaster reliefs. any type of connection they had to Bahamians in Canada itself. And also we wanted to get information on what sort of contribution they might have made to Canadian society. So we have a very select group of people. First of all, the applicant pool was very, very extensive and impressive. So it wasn't easy coming up with the winners, but that's where we are. So we're looking forward to announcing all of this on the night of the 15th. Thanks to the hard work of myself, Father Julian Campbell, and Miss Janet Cuffy Gray. So we're ready to go. This is big.
Nice. Very, very nice.
If I may just have one more minute, I'll just add as well that the celebrations do not stop on the 15th and 16th. So those are the culmination of the High Commission's celebrations and all that. However, myself as president of the National Association of Bahamians in Canada, we are also going to be hosting and participating in a number of other events that are going to be carrying on throughout the rest of July and the rest of the year. So we will be continuing to have a number of other events. There's more events coming up on July 22nd. We have events planned for August. We have a number of events planned even into September and October and all that. So the fun does not stop in July.
Well, Commissioner, I might join you in August. We'll have to see.
Right? You know, Canada, the Bahamians in Canada and the Embassy of the Bahamas in Canada, we open for business. So if you come, just let me know, and I will do my best to ensure that you have a good time. If I can piggyback.
Yes, go ahead.
But if I can piggyback on what Ms. Dawson said, we have 10 cities that the embassy had. We don't have the money to fully sponsor them, but we made contribution to 10 other cities that will be having celebrations around Canada. I don't want to go into naming them lest I leave one or two out, but I only want to mention that because they are excited. They requested our assistance and we were able to assist them financially. And they are having their own celebrations, not to clash with the 15th, though. I made that very clear that the 15th is the celebration. Yeah. Yeah. And all of the other ones I would like to attend. So if they go on the 15th, I can't go. They have agreed to have their celebrations around Canada at different times on different dates so that at least I can attend some of those.
Excellency Gray, Mr. Lang, one more thing I forgot to mention. I don't want to overlook this. Mrs. Crystal Moss, the work done by this subcommittee in compiling all the information that kept coming in from our Bahamian members of the diaspora would not have been done if it wasn't for her excellent guidance, organization, her skills with the computer. She really should be commended for it. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you much. Now, before I let you all go, Excellency, I got to ask you, though. You're having this big splash down the road with 200 people. What's going to be on the menu, sir?
Well, you know, if it is Bahamian, it's Bahamian food. And so I'm telling you, we're going to have a group of fingers. We're going to have Kong fritters. We're going to have Kong salad. We're going to have macaroni and cheese, peas and rice. Of course, chicken is Bahamian. I don't mind where the chicken comes from. That's Bahamian. And so, listen, I don't want to make people so excited that they don't come. They're satisfied with just listening to the menu. So we're going to have a lot of Bahamian food and drinks. I wish I could say Bahamian drinks, but it ain't quite Bahamian drinks. So listen, just come down and let's celebrate.
And some good old Bahamian music. You have some Ronnie playing.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a live Bahamian band. Bahamian band. Oh, it's called the Magical Beat.
Okay.
The Magical Beat. Okay. They will be providing live music at the reception at the residence on the 15th. I just can't go without that. Magical Beat out of Nassau.
Well, we are really excited. Thank you for helping us understand, appreciate what's going on there. We wish you all the best, and you know, report on the stuff after it's done.
So maybe I can be with you.
All right, so thank you.
Well, listen, let me just assure you that we are grateful for allowing us the opportunity to say what we are doing. I don't know if thanks is sufficient, but you are a patriot. And I know you didn't mind doing it to spread the word. And so I want to thank all of the people who helped me so far in reaching where we are. As His Excellency Brother Johnson said, Crystal Roll is the chairman of the Independence Committee. And I don't think she has slept since I gave her that position, because there's no way she could do it and sleep. She has done so much, for which I am eternally grateful. Of course, everybody played their role, but you know, she was the leader, and so most of the burden fell on her, and she executed her burden given extremely well. And we want to thank you for allowing us on your show today.
Anytime,
we may not come back, but let me take advantage of this moment to say thank you, sir. And if you can do it in any print form, send it to the Guardian, send it to the Tribune, send it everywhere.
They listen to the show. Anytime, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you. All the best for your show.
All the best.
Thank you very much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some talk. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
What was the purpose of the games?
The purpose is twofold. One, to bring Bahamians from throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas together through sports. And the second, to find talented athletes throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to be trained and possibly make it to the Olympic level.
When the games is?
This June.
For more info, call 322-1029.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
With our new Independence King Combo, enjoy a flame-grilled beef patty topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, and our special tropical sauce on a brioche bun. Served with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation fit to celebrate every year. Top off the Independence celebrations with our new Guava Sundae or frozen guava lemonade. Our Independence King Combo and treats are available for a limited time at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
As the Bahamas observes 50 years of independence, the Nassau Guardian is doing something special for our readers. During the week of July 3rd, as we count down to Independence Day, we'll roll out a series of publications to mark this momentous occasion. We will remember the events that led us to becoming a nation state. We will trace our development over the last 5 decades, and we will consider where we want to be in the next 50. You don't want to miss our exciting lineup of independence supplements, as each is guaranteed to be a keepsake. Happy Independence, Bahamas, from the Nassau Guardian, your trusted source for news.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
call 356-7764.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab, I'm your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you could join us today. So, got a few things I want to talk to you about. I wanted to talk to you about some of them yesterday, but we didn't have technical success doing that. First of all, let me wish a very happy independence to the people of the United States of America as they celebrate their independence, as we will do in just a few days. I don't remember. I think they're going to be about 245 years old, this celebration, or something like that. So we wish them a happy independence. Happy independence. Lots of Bahamians are connected to the United States of America by relatives, by friends, by connections in terms of work and professional contacts and the like. Of course, you know, America is a has been a long-standing ally, friend, partner, neighbor of the Bahamas, and so we want to wish them well. You know, it is not unusual when things happen negatively that we get on the country for the negative things that happen, but sometimes we don't recognize some of the positives that happen. So I was traveling through Nassau International Airport the other day, and let me tell you all something. Listen to me, the tourists were coming in droves. Droves. I honestly don't recall the last time I saw that kind of tourist flow coming out of the airport. This is not the cruise port. Now, this is the airport. That means these are air visitors. These are people who tend to stay long, and it was impressive. Now, honestly, I said to myself, oh my God, what treat this would be if that were also Grand Bahama. But the truth is, I traveled through the airport in Grand Bahama, and the tourist flow wasn't bad. It ain't Nassau. It ain't close to Nassau. But, you know, tourists are coming. They're coming to Grand Bahama, too. So, you know, to the Ministry of Tourism and whatever forces out there that are converging to help bring this traffic flow to the Bahamas, thank God for that. All right? Thank God for that. Also, had an opportunity on a couple of occasions to use the new Customs Exempt app. Listen to me, folks. I don't know what your experience has been. I cannot speak to your experience, but I'm impressed. I really am. I mean, I wasn't declaring anything because I didn't have nothing to declare. I tried to avoid that as much as possible. So, you know, I just had my computer bag, really. But it was really a modern experience. I mean, my information is uploaded in the app, and so all I need to do is fill out my details of travel and all that kind of stuff, and you can apply the exempt. I mean, honestly, kudos, customs, government, kudos. That's been stuff in the works for a very long time, I believe. But kudos. Also, the Bahamas, through the Auditor General's office, has met now for the first time in 4 years the fiscal transparency test of the United States of America. So, you know, if they had said you didn't meet the test, maybe you'd all be debating it and running on about it. But America says, yes, your Auditor General's department is executing its audits on the executive budget of the country. That means the budget that the cabinet presents. And so, you know, that's good news. That's good news. What is not good news is this. I read that both the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Health are concerned that we have in our food stores, in our stores, banned substances in other countries. You have to listen to this very carefully. They are concerned, according to the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, that we are selling items that are labeled for export only. Now, if an ordinary citizen had made that pronouncement and expressed that concern, I would say, well, you know, that's just they're not quite aware or something. But this is our Prime Minister. I'm Minister of Finance, and this is the Minister of Health. So immediately on hearing it, all kinds of questions flow through my head, and I was going to address these yesterday. And then I noticed Rupert Roberts, the owner of Supervalue, spoke to it too, and I might say, quite nicely spoke to it, trying to help people understand what is happening. He indicated, we don't sell no banned substances. Well, here's the thing. So this is my first question. This is the first question that I had when I listened to it. If you're the Prime Minister, I'm the Minister of Finance, and you're the Minister of Health, and you hear, you are aware of substances that other countries have banned being sold in your country. First of all, what obligation do you have to your public to advise them of the details of the substances being sold in the store that are banned? That's my first question. What obligation does the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance of the country and the Minister of Health have to inform the public of substances or things being sold in their stores that have been banned by other countries? If this is a concern, if it's a health concern, if it's a concern to safety, is the first and primary obligation of the government is to keep the country's people safe. That's the first responsibility. Because if you're not safe, living in the country's health, keep the country safe. Second is, keep it protected in terms of health. Because if you're all sick, can you have work? Can you have education? No, that all becomes a real challenge, right? Safety helps to establish an environment of peace where we can pursue our noble objectives. Health helps us to maximize that pursuit. So if you're the government, and you are aware of stuff being sold in your stores that are unsafe, unhealthy, and banned by other countries, is an expression of concern sufficient? And when did you come to this knowledge? And what have you done since coming to this knowledge? Why, if you have this knowledge, would you not say to the public, here are items that are sold in the Bahamas that are banned in Europe, banned in Canada, banned in the United States of America, so forth and so forth. We advise, if you don't want to tell them not to buy those items, you be advised that you be exercise caution in purchasing these items. That's the first question that came to my mind. Why would you not give the details of that? Secondly, why would you not contact the suppliers of these things? Mind you, let me be clear with you all, you know. A lot of the items you see sold in the stores, they are distributed in terms of sole exclusive distributorship by just a few wholesalers in the country. So the government doesn't have to call up 1,000 people. Call these people up and say, you know what? We are concerned that this item has been banned in these countries and we are selling them. Please, can we cooperate in a way that can help address this issue so that we don't put our people's safety or health at risk? Why would you not call them? Why would you spring that on? Because these are your commercial operators here. They are purchasing these items. And for as far as I know, so many of these items come in here stamped FDA approved. The Bahamas has no Food and Drug Administration. We have no facility that is dedicated to the testing of, verification of, the bona fides of, the health bona fides of items that we buy. We principally rely on that stamp that comes from other countries, Canada, United States, European Union, that said, approved by their Food and Drug Administrators. That's what we do. So you leave the commercial folk out to dry like that, right, when you do that. Thirdly, the Minister of Finance can put a restriction on or a ban on any item he deems problematic to the Bahamas, national security, national health, national morals, any item he can restrict, ban, set up quotas on, any item, and even his. You know these items, you're concerned about it. That's an easy fix. This item, henceforth, cannot enter the country, saving and except it has been tested and meets these specifications, or this item cannot be come into the country. We just do a budget exercise. We just talked about putting a tax on sugar because we said sugar is unhealthy. Well, these items are banned in other countries, presumably because these other countries think they are dangerous to somebody's health and safety. The Minister of Finance can do something about that. So public policy has to be, and always should be, more than pronouncements or descriptions or diagnoses. Public policy requires, especially where the public health and the public safety is at risk, it requires action. And those with the power to act can act. That's the one great thing about when you have the power, is that there is no risk that you cannot address. If you have the power, some things you can't do anything about. This attack on the United States of America that caused bombing across the United States that might have implications for the Bahamas, we can't do anything about that. We have no facility, no means to do something about that, right? That's why, thank God, America has the military hegemony it has that can protect itself and even cover some of us. But those powers, which we have some power to do something about, you don't talk about what the concern is, you can actually address those and ban the substances that might pose a threat to the health and safety of the Bahamas. That's easy peasy. You have no idea how broad the powers of the Minister of Health can be, how broad the powers. So something can be done about it. We're going to talk about this a little more after the break, but the question of export only, now I explained this on my show multiple times. I am sorry to wake you up. I am sorry to let you know. Export only has nothing to do with health and safety. Absolutely nothing. Let me say it again. The label on a box, on a cereal box, on a can,
on anything you see in the food store has absolutely nothing to do with health and safety. It has nothing to do with the fact that they don't want it sold in the United States of America because it's not safe. Absolute nonsense. It has nothing to do with that. I want to say it very strongly because I need to get this out of your heads. It has absolutely nothing to do with health and safety. It is simply a trademark. It's about trade. It's about trade. That's all it is. It's a warning sign about trading stuff in the United States, because many of those things that you see stamped that way have been subsidized or supported in some way by the United States of America for export purposes, to encourage their people to be able to export their products, but they don't want them to have subsidized products sold in their market. It doesn't even have anything to do with dumping. It has nothing to do with dumping whatsoever. It's about trade. It's about trade. It's about America saying, if I give you a subsidy that reduces your cost to produce this item so that you can get more exports, I can't at the same time have you competing in the market in my own country with products that weren't so subsidized, and that would be unfair. Because you have local producers that only distribute in America, and then you have local producers that also export abroad. So export abroad is for export only means do not invest in our market because it's been subsidized by the government, and it would be unfair trading if you did so, because you could lower your price below those local producers who only sell in the domestic market. That's all that has to do with it. It has nothing to do with health and safety. It's like if you go to Home Depot and you purchase something as a contractor from the Bahamas at Home Depot, in order to not get the taxes applied to your products because it's going to be exported, you will see on your receipt for export only. It's standard stuff. So believe what you want to believe. I can't stop you. Believe the conspiracy if you want to believe it. I can't stop you. All I know is you will be believing a lie. You will be believing an untruth. You will be believing something that absolutely is not the case. It's just not the case. It's not the case. It's not the case. It's absolutely not the case. I'm going to say it again. It has nothing to do with health or safety. Nothing whatsoever. I will eat, but I'm eating very carefully these days, but I will eat. If it is for export only, it would bother me not one bit to give it to my children, my family, not one bit. It has nothing to do with health and safety. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It has absolutely nothing to do with health and safety. You are listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Ghulam, your host. We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we will just continue our discussion really well after the news.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is at you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
My Gateway has marked a major milestone. Over 100,000 registered users worldwide can now enjoy secure access to over 60 government services online. There is much more to come because our digital transformation journey just keeps getting better. What are you waiting for? Sign up at mygateway.gov.bs today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. It's the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance who first expressed this concern in the House of Assembly about for export only. I'm certain that he can ask his folks in the Ministry of Finance, some of those technical officers, about that, and they will be able to clarify for him that for export only has nothing to do with health or safety measures. It's a trade measure. So that's a clarification that he can easily get. And the problem with what has happened is to have a Prime Minister and Minister of Finance and Minister of Health make these kinds of statements, it can set about a kind of paranoia in the population, especially where that kind of belief existed to begin with. You know, and that kind of paranoia isn't going to be helpful because, as somebody reminded me, we don't produce a lot in this country, you know. Not that we eat, not the things that we eat. A lot of things we eat in the stores we don't have to eat, but we choose to eat them anyway, right? But we don't produce them. We don't produce those cereals and many of those cans of canned goods that we have and all that kind of stuff. We don't. So what are you saying? If people dumping on you there for export only stuff that's supposed to be a problem health wise and safety wise, why should they be limited to anything that they label for export only? That wouldn't make sense. They might as well just keep dumping on you, and you ain't no better, no how. So, sooner or later, if you come to no better, what do you do? You will not eat plenty days. Mind you, in the end, that might be the end. But I can tell you one thing, it'll be a significant impact on commerce, right? So this, for the Minister of Health and for the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, that's an easy clarification. On the matters related to banned items, which might have real legitimacy in terms of maybe it is time to look at some of those items on something. Countries have different standards that they set up for products. And let me be clear with you. Let me make my professional statement on this to you. Not every time you see a country ban an item is a legitimate technical risk issue. Sometimes they do that as a trade measure intended to give their own producers an advantage in the marketplace. You want to say it again? There is what in trade is called, and I talked to you all about this when I was dealing with WTA. There is what in trade is called, are called technical barriers to trade. What's a technical barrier? So if I went ahead and banned your item, if I'm a part of the World Trade Organization, they might sanction me for having banned an item because they say that's unfair trade. If I set up a quota on it, meaning I only allow a certain amount of it, sanction me for having done so because they say I was in conducting unfair trade. If I increase the duty on it, they might say, oh, that's unfair trade. So what you do is, this is a more difficult thing for them to prove. What you say is, you know what? This item doesn't meet our specification in terms of this material being in it, this amount of stuff being in it, that amount of stuff being in it. Mind you, take for instance, you get some imported grits rice or flour from an African country.
they may, you know, weevils are in your, these products. They have no health risk posed beyond in an infestation in the item. So there is a certain allowable amount of weevils in these products. But some country might say, no, well, you say 5 per pound, I say 3 per pound. Why? Because my country produces rice. So that's a technical spec that didn't have any material health risk dimension to it, but it's a tech. So you can have countries setting up technical barriers to trade that aren't about health risk. They are about trade. So you still have to do your due diligence on some of these things. You have to really ask the question, you know what? Why is it banned here and not there? Like, what do they know over there that caused them not to ban it that these people don't know over here? Because you could have the United States ban it, but Canada doesn't. You think Canada's technical experts are any less qualified than those in the United States of America? I think not on many items, on many things. Europe versus the United States, same thing. So while you have to have regard for the processes that people do, you also have to take into account that all of them are not about actual health risk or safety risk. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, good afternoon.
I heard your remarks about absolutely it's not because of an inferior product or perhaps any health risk, but it's solely for trade. But I know the situation from California in terms of lawnmowers that they make there. They have a very code about on the pollution. You can have some the exhaust of a lawnmower and also the noise that a lawnmower can make. So some lawnmowers that they would manufacture in California are not to be used in California. Those items are for export. So the only thing I'm looking at is that your absolute statement as the only reason must be. So I'm just saying that there may be sometimes.
With the greatest respect, that has nothing to do with a health risk or anything. That has to do with just what I said, a technical specification. That's all it is.
Okay. I planned to call you before the news. You were forward to develop your point about some technical differences. So my formation was prior to the news.
But the lawnmower is not a health risk. It's just, it doesn't meet California specs, if that's true. I don't know it to be true.
No, I just happened to give that example because I'm aware specifically about that case.
But again, though, you're using it to challenge my point about export only.
No, you're saying the absolute as if...
I'm still saying it has nothing to do, and you use the word inferior product. I did not. I said it has nothing to do with health and safety risk altogether. That's not what it's for.
Okay.
So the thing that we get here, that's labeled export only, that has nothing to do with those things. And unless you can...
I can agree with you, but perhaps... So let me turn the question around. Do you think that substandard products are sold for export without a label? Not necessarily having a label. That substandards are made for export.
I believe
whether deliberately or indirectly.
You can have substandard products sold anywhere, my friend.
Okay,
that's why you have so many crooks in the world. That's why you have so many unethical people in the world. But that's not what we're talking about, so I don't want to be the issue for people.
Sorry about that. My background is summer background with a lot of noise, so I'm not going to continue much because...
It's okay. I don't want to confuse people. You cannot have a statement for export only means you're selling an inferior product. You cannot do that to your commercial industry and sector, especially when the information is false as to why it is labeled export only. The export only we have in this country is not about health and safety or inferiority. Now, can Bahamians import expired, outdated, stale stuff? Of course they can, but you let them do it because they're coming through your country through your officials. Right? When I am trying to disabuse people of misinformation that is really can be problematic, I really want to make sure that some of these injections don't confuse people. You know, you could find from anywhere on planet Earth. All right? You could find an anecdote anywhere from on planet Earth. Let's stick to the information we're dealing with, which is, I go in the food store all the time, right? And I don't know, but I don't see for export only a lot. Anybody out there, tell me. You when you're in the food store, do you see for export only a lot? Please tell me. I have not seen that label in the food store in the years I've been in the food store now. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm saying I have not seen it. Maybe I'm looking for it because it don't matter to me, right? But I have not seen it. But it's not a matter of health and safety risk. This text says, amen, brother, about export was about to send that to you. Thank you, sir. This text says, for export, gas been going on for eons. And on looking it up a while ago, it said, but can't remember all the details as there are some items that are banned in certain countries. I remember Europe has it. Very high standards on the road. I have to refresh. Okay, no problem. So it's amazing that people with the phone always in their hand do not make use of Google. Mm. This texter says, haven't seen that in a bit. Me neither. I haven't seen it. I'm not saying it in there. I have not seen it. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you doing, sir?
Good man. How are you?
I thank you for your using your knowledge as a legislator, a policymaker to help us as a people understand the impact of the pronouncement that our policymakers that aren't substantiated or ought to be substantiated. I think the need for more public health officers or officials in the country is necessary. And because I think this is something that happens not only in a matter here with a health or product or food concern. I think sometimes we have, even in matters of time or violence, leaders attempting to try and air out issues, make the wrong pronouncements or statements when it should be officials who are trained in public safety and communicating to the public on those relevant issues. I think we have to move away from where, you know, leaders just see the need to stand on a soapbox and make these kinds of pronouncements to make it appear as if they are in fact working, when these things are doing more harm than good.
Well, I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks a lot. This text says, so the PM, Minister of Finance, was not aware that for export only relates to export of the product and has nothing to do with health concerns. Well, I don't know what the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, was or was not aware of, but a pronouncement about it in the context of health and safety is a pronouncement that is not in keeping with what that label means. That's all I'm saying. It's not. And this has been said before. I addressed it on a show. This wasn't even last year. This was year before last. I addressed it on a show. So it keeps popping up because I could understand why a Bahamian, ordinary Bahamian, seeing that might take the leap and say, well, why for export only? I could see that, but there's no need for our political, for our policy directors to be like that, because there are technical experts in their ministries who can advise them of these things. I mean, think about that, right? I mean, the United States of America would have to be doggedly hypocritical and absolutely malicious to simply say, oh, this stuff, you don't sell this here because it's bad for health and safety measures and what have you, but you can sell it in the Bahamas. Now, I'm not saying they wouldn't do something, but I mean, have we been ended up in 3 years? Yeah, real. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, Zhivago.
How you doing, sir?
I'm fine. I don't know, can't hear too well, but I'll still speak. What I'm thinking about, I want to veer off course, because when we speak about this thing about safety and food issues and export, import, whatever, my mind really goes on, we need to concentrate on the type of recipe or seasonings that come into this country. For instance, like MSG. I think that's something we need to look at and maybe ban. We need to look at these things that are coming in that is harming us. Why? As we take it in or ingest it, you know?
I why think do you need to look at MSG? Focus.
Huh?
Why do you need to look at MSG?
No, because doctors are saying that the MSG is very harmful to the body.
Well, I don't know what doctors are saying that, but quite frankly, the information, the research on that, and I've read a number of the papers on it, the research does not support that.
Well, if you speak to your Bahamian show and break it down.
My Bahamian doctors, I respect, regard, but that does not mean... See, a doctor is advising you medically, and I suggest you take their advice. But there are people out there whose business it is to examine by way of scholarly research any statement about something. And I'm saying, from what I have read so far, the verdict is out. Now, anything in excess is problematic. Anything, salt, sugar, black pepper, anything in excess. But my understanding is that there is no evidence to support that in moderation, MSG is carcinogenic. Even though I know lots of people are avoiding it, and I don't have any problem with that at all. I'm just saying I'm not going to share on here that is
right.
The case when I don't have any information to support that.
But it'll be good to have a show when we're talking about these type of things. Anyhow, overall,
because
you know some people don't even know what they're eating. You know.
Yeah, with the right people for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You are spot on about the fact that we need to eat ourselves to health. There's no question about that, and that means stop eating some crap we're eating. That's a fact. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shafar Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
My Gateway has marked a major milestone. Over 100,000 registered users worldwide can now enjoy secure access to over 60 government services online. There is much more to come because our digital transformation journey just keeps waiting for. Sign up at mygateway.gov.bs today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons. persons?
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Island.
Investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine. Fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab, and I'm your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 322-325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This person says it's usually on some chips. It's also on some Quakers, grits, and Quakers Oats brand. So it's on some chips. Well, I have a Quaker Oats right here, right now. I'm looking for it. And I don't see it. So I only grab this right in my closet. I got a flour, a bag of flour. Quality, it's called. I'm looking for it. I don't see it on there. I got some Muller's macaroni. I don't see it on there. I see serving suggestions. I see non-GMO project verified on that. Enriched healthful vitamin flour. This is a product of Canada. I don't see it on there. I even have some Mexico look like, I don't see it on there, but anyway, might be somewhere. This text says, I agree with you. In 2000, I bought a 2000 Ford Ranger. My wife bought a 2000 Jeep Gallup. Her Jeep lasted about 11 years. Still have mine for export. Still has my for export only truck. Won't sell it for the world. Had many offers. My truck had a tag on it for export only. There you go. Couldn't say it more clearly than that, but man, there you go. That's the point. All right, so I have one more thing I want to talk to you about today. So someone sent me a video
of a speech given by the member of parliament for Abaco Parliament, and he gave a speech about his position in Abaco, in which he made the statement that there is no higher authority in Abaco than himself. In other words, he said, in Abaco, I am the prime minister. Now, Mr. Kirk Cornish is the parliamentary secretary in the office of the prime minister. And so, when he made the comments, he said, you know, I could wield my authority in Abaco and do this and the next thing, but I don't, because that's not me. That's not the way I am. And that's wonderful. I think that's a wonderful statement. He says there's no one more higher in authority than in Abaco. So, you know, I listened to it and I thought, okay, maybe this is a good opportunity for us to talk about these positions a little bit and try and give some clarification. So first of all, Mr. Cornish is the Member of Parliament for North Abaco. And there is a Member of Parliament for South Abaco. And as to their authority as members of parliament, they both have the same authority, which has nothing to do with Abaco, but has to do with what they do in the House of Assembly. Can I help you with that? Members of parliament do not wield authority in their constituencies. They do not. They are elected legislators to the House of Assembly. Their authority is in the House of Assembly and resolutions and to debate bills and resolutions in the House of Assembly. That's it. Outside of that, they have no authority in their constituency. They do not. They are, what regard they get as members of parliament, as a leader in that community, but they have no authority. Authority, formal and official authority is granted, given. Look in the Constitution and see what authority is given to members of parliament now who's in. Or members of parliament, period. Look at the Constitution. Just look at that section and see what it says. See what the Constitution says about what authority they have. Okay, so that's the first thing. They have no authority in their constituencies. The authorities that exist in a constituency rest with the central government or with the local government. In respect of the central government, right, these are cabinet responsibilities for areas of governance, not for areas of territory. Can I tell you that again? This is very important. A minister does not have territorial responsibility. They have policy responsibility for areas of governance. So take, for instance, the minister responsible for Grand Bahama is not responsible for Grand Bahama. That is not true. Has no administrative power or authority over Grand Bahama. The minister for Grand Bahama has responsibility for government policies related to Grand Bahama. That's different. That's entirely different. That's not territorial. That's policy. That's what is the government's intent in respect of this area? That's what the minister for Grand Bahama has responsibility for. And that minister is a minister of state within the office of the prime minister who has a higher rank than the parliamentary secretary. A parliamentary secretary, like a minister of state and like a minister, does not have any territorial responsibility. Policy responsibility. Policy. They are responsible for executing government policy. For the Minister of State, that means a broad area of policy. It could be while the minister of portfolio, who we call the senior minister, has responsibility for the entire portfolio that they have, they delegate some of that responsibility to ministers. So, for instance, the prime minister has responsibility for national insurance, Grand Bahama, and all of that. But he has said, actually, I don't think Ginger Moxie, I'm sorry, is a minister of state. I think Ginger Moxie is a minister, is a minister. And so, again, the same thing applies. She has responsibility for the policies related to Grand Bahama, not for the territory. There's no administrative, governing, municipal responsibility for the territory. She has policy responsibility to the government of the Bahamas for things that relate to Grand Bahama. A parliamentary sec gets a narrow set of areas. So, Miles LaRota is a minister of state in the labor for national insurance, right? He is not a junior minister. Mr. Cornish is a junior minister. Mr. Cornish doesn't go to cabinet. Mr. LaRota goes to cabinet. He's a minister. He just is a minister without portfolio. He is not a junior minister. He is a minister. He is junior to the prime minister who has the portfolio responsibility. So that's just a term of art. But he's a full minister. That's why he goes to cabinet. The parliamentary secretary don't go to cabinet. And so a parliamentary secretary has no authority in a territory. None whatsoever. Whatever authority he or she has relates to the government responsibility has been given to them. And that government responsibility is not for a territory, it's for the whole country. So if you're a parliamentary secretary and you have something to do with transport, you don't have it for transport in the place where you're a member of parliament and happen to be farmers. So there is no authority to wield. Right? There's no authority to wield. There is really the responsibility you have. So what you should be talking to people about is, you know, having responsibility for this particular area in the office of the prime minister's portfolio, I am doing X, Y, and Z and across the country in relation to this. Am I being clear, folks? Please help me. Is it making sense to you, or might you have a question? You could let me know. I just want to make sure I'm being clear so you understand. Alright. So President says Brave really needs to reel in these favorite MPs and ministers. Cornish even isn't a minister. He's a minister. He's a junior minister. He's a parliamentary secretary. He's a junior minister. Right? So let's be clear. He's a junior minister. That's a parliamentary secretary. Is a part of the executive for sure. Right? But does not go to cabinet. Well, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, call over to speak to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Language Pop. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? What's happening?
Yeah, everything is all right. You know, I can't disagree with the MSG, right? But I was wondering if Mr. Roberts was being sincere when he says he doesn't know that some items are banned in other countries but still come here. But the United States have a lot of products on there, many products, not that much, but some that are banned in Europe, but they're still allowed to be on their shelves over
That's
there.
True.
That they're still allowed to come over here, right?
That's
you know,
true, yeah.
With the food coloring, I know about this from, I've read the book, Natural Cures, they don't want you to know about it. It's about a 1,000-page book by Kevin Trudeau.
I read it
from about 2000.
I had the first version of it.
Yeah, and so I guess you're familiar with it because I hear you disclosing some of the information. But, you know, like some of the food colorings, et cetera, and some of the products, you know, like the Fruit Loops, I don't want to call the names, but, you know, this is a known fact. And so the fact that we don't, I don't know if we really analyze or we have details, right, Brother Lang, but what I'm saying is that I like your open mind as far as the research because the research shows that small amounts doesn't do anything, but it does show where it causes, and this is visible to us, you know, but we just can't see, it does cause cognitive and endocrine abnormalities in children, and this is sex behavior. And so, and because it's hidden in foods, and I'm wondering just why the children are so, you know, hyperactive, but what I want to share is because you and I know as we age, you know, for some reason our blood pressures tend to elevate. You notice that, Mr. Lang? Don't care how healthy you eat or what you never notice that?
Well,
my blood pressure is normal for a certain period of time, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not even overweight. I'm underweight for my height, but you know, having this little borderline, right? And so what I realize is, you know, but you did chemistry, so you know, sodium is not a salt until it combines. It's a metal, right? But what right. happens now is the MSG, you know, it appears naturally in some foods. So
yeah.
the glutamate is actually an amino acid, so it appears naturally in some foods, so it doesn't affect us the way people think. So
right.
the seawater has 92 minerals, but when you put it in the catchment area and you dissolve it, you only the sodium and the chloride leaves behind us to precipitate. So that means that the sodium in itself, the salt only contains sodium chloride. Even so, we talk about the Himalayan salt, right? The Himalayan salt is still about 80-something% sodium chloride. So it yeah. still has other minerals. It's just a little bit better than the table salt.
We
need salt, right, Mr. Lang? But what I find very difficult is there are some volcanic, there are some earthbound salts. Like, we just shouldn't be using sea salt. Himalayan salt would be an earthbound salt. But there are some earthbound salts, like Persian blue, and it's the one from Hawaii, and some volcanic salts that are actually more beneficial that they use to treat high blood pressure because they have the sodium, potassium, magnesium, and calcium in the proportions that actually regulates the inter- and extracellular fluid. So we are all being duped. The Persian blue salt, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to see if I could get Julian to order it. If you could go online, check it for yourself, but this is what we need because there's no way you could tell me the high blood pressure is so prevalent.
Hold on. You're making a lot of sense. But I wanted to just stop you for a minute because you're sharing a lot of stuff. People sometimes you give people an opportunity to assimilate it, you know?
Right? When you read the book, Mr. Lang, you know what I'm saying.
No, I absolutely know.
Only a reader could read a book like that. Because some people just give up.
No, but here's the challenge. Here's the challenge always I find with things like less salt. You know what we do when we hear something is less, right? We think
yeah.
it's okay to use this.
Yeah, and but
then,
I think...
Then we undo the effect of the less.
Yeah, because I think when you put the blame, the monosodium glutamate only is about 12% sodium. So it can be the problem for high blood pressure. But what they're saying is in large amounts. But if you don't know which food is in, then you could end up with that particular problem. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of awareness, and you see the prevalence in it. You know, of course, it's in processed meat and other things like that, but I just thought I'd share that with the Persian blue salt because it's amazing that Persian blue salt don't sell here, Mr. Lang. The salt that can really help everybody. We should have that opportunity. It's very rare, you know, and it's very expensive. So it's frightening for me because I use the Himalayan salt thinking like, you know, and I used to actually put it in the water and drink it. Come to find out now, it isn't. I mean, it has 82 minerals, but it's still basically sodium and chloride.
Yeah.
See, but I guess you could bring on Julian because we need help because, I mean, high blood pressure leads to kidney problems and a whole host of other problems, Mr. Lang. So none of us can escape this. Bless up. Good show, man.
Thank you much. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. Pay our respects to our great sponsors.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior's phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick in
missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy.
Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey for every step of the way, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. All right, so one of the things that I think sometimes confuses people is the difference between rank and authority. You can outrank somebody, but not have authority over them, you know, right? or not have authority over them. That's possible. So, for instance, in Abaco, if you looked for the highest ranking government official, if Mr. Cornish, who is a parliamentary secretary, I believe, if Mr. Cornish is attending a function or a minister with portfolio at that function, then he would be the highest ranking government official. All that means is that in the establishing a protocol, he would be the first person you acknowledge. So in terms of rank, if there's no other minister of state or minister with portfolio, including the prime minister, he would be the highest ranking person. But that rank doesn't give you any authority unless it has to do with something having to do with government policy. And even then, you know, what you do is a matter of what the cabinet or the prime minister has asked you to do. Isn't that your independent wielding and exercising of power? When I was Minister of State for Finance, I had responsibility for the Customs Department, the Department of Statistics, for the Treasury Department. I had responsibility for all of these areas and relations with the central bank. I didn't go in them to talking about, you all do this, you all do that, so I'll do the next thing. If the government decided it wanted to implement a policy relative to any of those areas, then the prime minister or the cabinet would convey that to me, and it was therefore my job to go and pursue the government's policy in those areas. I think I can change that. No. You do those things within the broad
or the narrow parameters that are given to you as a minister. And this is how you stay out of trouble when you are a parliamentary secretary or a minister. You remember that you have delegated responsibility. And once you understand that you have delegated responsibility, you will check with the delegator. It doesn't matter whether I wield authority or do not wield authority. If I am acting in accordance with the delegated powers and responsibilities I've been given, then I am safe. There is no problem. So this MP Cornish's statement is indicative of what they think of family islanders. He would never utter those words in Grandma Manasseh. That is interesting. Would have been ran out of town. This MP needs to be fired from the OPM in Abaco by the PM. Now, you know what? That's a very insightful statement. That's true. There is a different attitude in that respect. I wouldn't say Grand Bahama. I'd say New Providence. But Grand Bahama, if you're minister of state, depending on the minister of state, you might hear something like that. You might. But I agree with you that maybe that's a family island nuance. So Mr. Lai, Mr. Cornish is a novice, and I pity the way he is thinking. Powell lies that he is only a servant of the people. Yes, he will also understand that he does not have the power he thinks. So that's a fact. He does not. Okay? No minister does. You know, we all have had powers delegated to us first by the prime minister, whose power itself, secondly, is delegated from the Constitution. That's it. That's all the power you have. So it's a delegated authority. So thank God I'm a 70-year-old Damien man, never saw a pressure pill. I eat everything. Okay, that's possible. See, that's one, that's possible. You know, some people can do anything and get away with it. Of course, you're 70. You're only 75, yes, so we don't know what comes in 75, but I pray God nothing comes. Nor 80, nor 85, nor 95, right? I know lots of people who, they've been great, super, after they hit 80 and 85. And that's what Dr. Dwayne Sands said, you know, at a speech he gave at the Government of Public Policy Institute lecture series. He said, in that first 70 plus years, you know, he says, them last 15 years of your life, that's when it tells on you. That's what he said. Says, if Rubus gas leak in Marathon was so dangerous, why no protection for persons breaking the gasoline? Should the political party symbol be on the 50th anniversary decoration? It should not be. But if it's there, if it's something they produce, if the political party produced it, saying that it is celebrating the country's anniversary of independence, that's fine. So long as it's clear this was a political party's thing. But in terms of if it's paid for by the government of the Bahamas, by the public treasury, it should not have any political symbols on it. It should not. Anything paid for by the government of the Bahamas. So if you want to know, ask them who paid for that. That's what you should find out. When it comes out of the treasury, it has to be apolitical. And it's paid for in the treasury. If it's not paid for out of the treasury, and they want, no matter how you think, what you think about it. Okay, so that's the acid test. That it, did it come out of the treasury's payments? That's what matters. Well, I hope some of that helps. John, you invited me to tell me that if you get your business today, I mean, people want to hear stuff and I ran places and paying them no attention. We have some other matters to discuss. I won't get into them. I won't get into them today, but quite a number of things I thought emerged. That I thought was interesting, whether it's in relation to BPL or in relation to NIB. Number of things, you know. happening in the country. It's useful to talk and discuss these things and get a better thought on them, you know, where we can even clarification. You're enjoying the celebrations? Having a good time? I saw the police, the Defense Force, the march the other day. I saw some clippings of it. Very impressive. Very impressive. Yeah. It ain't long now before we celebrate. We got 3 more days. No, sorry. We have 6 more days. 6 more days before the big day, Independence Day. What you gonna do? How you gonna spend it? Where you gonna be? Well, we know most of y'all gonna be in Nassau. Most of you gonna be in Nassau. The next most of y'all gonna be in Grand Bahama. And then the rest will be spread throughout the family of islands. I'm thinking about actually maybe 2 islands on that day. I'm looking at it. You know, so y'all pray for me. I'm looking at it. So tomorrow, I hope we will be able to cover some other issues that I found interesting over the last couple of weeks that I did not have an opportunity to comment on. I really think that we should take advantage of this opportunity to reflect some more. It's 50 years of our anniversary. We should take some more opportunity to reflect and maybe use it as a means of guiding ourselves in government and as a people to grow up more. They actually clap for him in church. You got a call on the line. I'm sorry. We got no time. I'm so sorry. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabazz Live, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless. Take care.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.